Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Global Citizen International Digest. I'm Mel Gertov. I'll be reporting and commenting on the most important and sometimes the most neglected international news of the week. Here are today's top stories. All of them concern Trump's war on Iran. The death toll and the dollar toll in the Iran war are very high. Peace is not at hand. And the fight for oil leaves Trump with few alternatives. First, the death toll and the dollar toll in the Iran war are very high. The human toll from the war is rapidly rising. By most accounts, about 3,000 people have been killed across the Middle East. Iran's representative to the UN has told the Security Council that more than 1,300 civilians had been killed. Dozens have also died in Iranian drone and missiles attacks on Gulf countries and Israel. In Lebanon, the Israeli bombardment, which has extended to downtown Beirut, has killed more than 700 people and displaced over 1 million, according to Lebanese officials. The U.S. death toll has reached 13. The Pentagon refuses to take responsibility for an airstrike at the start of the war that killed at least 175, including many children. The incident is still under official investigation, but unofficial investigations show U.S. responsibility and vitiate Trump's claim that an Iranian Tomahawk missile, which it doesn't possess, was responsible. The war wastes money as well as taking lives. As of a week ago, the U.S. military spent around $5.2 billion on munitions alone. That amount is greater than total U.S. humanitarian assistance in 2025. And munitions are only part of the cost. The Times reports, quote, Elaine McCusker, a top Pentagon official during the first Trump administration, estimates that by the end of its sixth day, the war's cost exceeded $11 billion, including more than $5 billion worth of interceptors. To replenish its arsenal, the Pentagon is expected to ask Congress for an additional $50 billion, unquote. Let's recall that the Pentagon's budget proposal for the next fiscal year is $1.5 trillion. In short, exceptional and unacceptable military spending is diverting the military from its true defense missions and from human and environmental needs at home. Peace is not at hand in this war. What will it take to end the war? On March 11, Iran outlined the conditions it said are needed to end the war. Iran's president, Masoud Pezeshkian, said ending the war would require three things. First, recognition of Iran's legitimate rights. Second, payment of reparations. And third, firm international guarantees against future aggression. He said that he conveyed this position during talks with the leaders of Russia and Pakistan, framing it as Tehran's proposed path to peace. As diplomats say, these conditions are a non-starter. No way in the world will the U.S. agree to any of the three points. Nor has Trump offered talks aimed at stopping the war. On March 15th, he said, quote, Iran wants to make a deal, and I don't want to make it because the terms aren't good enough yet. What terms would be good enough for the United States remains unstated. Most likely is that only unconditional surrender, as Trump has mentioned, would suffice. It is up to NATO partners or the United Nations to come up with ways to stop the war, but one searches in vain for any effort to do so. One highly unlikely way the war will end is via a popular uprising in Iran. That one-time Trumpian fantasy has been dismissed by the Israelis, who believe protesters will, quote, get slaughtered in a revolt. That opinion is being reported in a cable circulated by the U.S. Embassy in Jerusalem last Friday. The Israeli assessment is that Iran's regime is not cracking and is willing to, quote, fight to the end. Yet various Israeli officials, including Benjamin Netanyahu, have urged the Iranian people to rise up, which would indeed be an invitation to the slaughterhouse. The fight for oil leaves Trump with few alternatives. Once again, a Middle East war has come down to oil. Iran has proven capable of choking off the Strait of Hormuz, disabling oil tankers with drones and mining in the narrow passage through which 20% of global oil shipments pass. Most oil companies and their insurers are unwilling to run the risk of shipping despite Trump's urging to show guts. He should know it's all about money, not guts. If guts are central, why hasn't the U.S. Navy escorted the tankers through the strait? Efforts to shore up the world's oil supply by releasing reserves and removing sanctions on Russian oil sales for 30 days are unlikely to work. Demand far exceeds what these measures can supply. That leaves more U.S. bombing, which Pete Hegseth assures everyone will be successful. The bombing now extends to Karg Island in the Persian Gulf, home to Iran's main oil exporting facilities. Trump is again using the word obliteration to characterize the bombing's results, but he applied that only to military targets. The U.S. Central Command says the strikes, quote, preserved the oil infrastructure. As CNN reports, moreover, Iran is continuing to export oil through the strait. Quote, Iran itself is shipping oil through the strait in almost the same volume as before the war, earning the much-needed cash to sustain its economy and war effort. In addition, there were already millions of barrels of Iranian crude oil at sea looking for buyers before the conflict began. Unquote. The price of oil, and therefore gasoline at the pump, continues to rise, causing Trump further political headaches. The Wall Street Journal reported that three CEOs from the major oil companies met with Trump's energy team and warned that the energy crisis is only going to get worse. But the Wall Street Journal report did not say that the executives criticized Trump's war policy. After all, big oil is benefiting enormously from this war. Oil problems may lead to postponement of Trump's trip to China, which was scheduled for March 31st, but whose agenda was not announced. Trump is appealing to China to join other countries in reopening the Strait of Hormuz to U.S. shipping. But for one thing, China does not move significant amounts of oil through the strait, contrary to what Trump is saying. Quote, seaborne oil imports through the strait now account for less than half of China's total oil shipments, according to Rush Doshi, director of the China Strategy Initiative at the Council on Foreign Relations. Second, China has evidently prepared for another energy crisis. It has oil supply options beyond the Middle East. And third, and most important, China's likely unwillingness to help Trump is surely based on a simple logic. Why take a stand on the side of U.S. aggression against Iran, a strategic partner? Trump has asked NATO to help end Iran's blockage, but Germany, Australia, Luxembourg, and Japan said that they have no plans to send vessels to the region. German Defense Minister Boris Pistorius said Monday, quote, this is not our war. We have not started it. Chancellor Friedrich Merz was emphatic, quote, this Iranian regime must come to an end, but based on all the experience we have gained in previous years and decades, bombing it into submission is, in all likelihood, not the right approach, unquote. Britain's Prime Minister Keir Starmer said the UK would not be drawn into the wider war, but was working on a viable plan. Any action would have to be agreed upon by many partners as possible in NATO, he said. Trump said it would be very bad for NATO's future if it did not help. But Japan is also hesitating. Prime Minister Takaichi Sennai said providing warships would be legally difficult. Trump is increasingly isolated in this war, a potentially dangerous situation. The deployment of 2,500 Marines to the Gulf area is an ominous sign of deeper U.S. involvement, perhaps in preparation for seizing Karg Island, or sabotaging what remains of Iran's nuclear establishment, or invading Iran outright. In other news, Russia is on the verge of banning Telegram. Telegram, the app most widely used by Russians for communicating, seems about to be banned by the government for, quote, abetting terrorism. Pavel Durov, the founder of Telegram, who lives in Abu Dhabi, says that, quote, Russia is restricting access to Telegram in an attempt to force its citizens to switch to a state-controlled app built for surveillance and political censorship, unquote. That app, known as Max, seems to be an attempt to force all Russians who use the internet onto it. The Kremlin charges that Telegram has been used by Ukraine and the West to undermine Russian authority. Durov, however, is no innocent. He has been charged with a range of crimes in France in connection with illicit activity on the app, including the distribution of child sexual abuse material, drug trafficking, and fraud. He faces a potential sentence of up to 10 years in prison. For Russia, the flip side of banning Telegram is hacking other social media. Russian hackers have focused on Signal and WhatsApp, according to Dutch intelligence, seeking the personal data of users in government and industry. But that's not abetting terrorism, evidently. The Pentagon is in a dispute with a major AI tech firm. Pete Hegseth is very angry with the AI tech firm Anthropic, which has a technology called Claude that the Pentagon wants to use for purposes Anthropic opposes. According to the Washington Post, the dispute is, quote, over whether the U.S. government should have the freedom to spy on or kill humans using Anthropic's technology. Anthropic has protested that the Pentagon wants to use Claude for surveillance of U.S. citizens and in autonomous weapons on the battlefield. Hegseth has denied such intentions and is threatening to use the technology regardless of Anthropic's complaint. Trump followed up by ordering the government to stop using Anthropic. But its CEO will not give in, saying that, quote, in a narrow set of cases, we believe AI can undermine rather than defend democratic values. In short, Anthropic does not seem aligned with the MAGA agenda. And according to a New York Times report, Silicon Valley is largely behind Anthropic. The latest word is that Anthropic is suing the Pentagon over the claim that Anthropic is a national security risk. Cuba is talking with the United States, but that may be a charade. In response to Trump's predictions that the Cuban government's downfall is imminent, Cuba's president, Miguel Díaz-Canel, has acknowledged reports that it is in talks with the United States. By threatening high tariffs on any country that supplies Cuba with oil, and by cutting off Venezuelan oil shipments to Cuba, the U.S. has left the Cuban economy without imported oil for 3 months. It relies on those shipments for around 60% of its energy. Cuba thus is largely at the mercy of Trump. In the talks, Cuba's president has revealed his insistence that they must take place with mutual respect for each other's political systems, which is diametrically opposed to Trump's demand that the communist system be dismantled. Cuba seems willing to make economic changes, such as allowing exiles to invest in the island. It has also released some political prisoners, but that may not be enough to prevent what Trump and Rubio aim at. Cuba and the U.S. seem to be at roughly the same place Venezuela and the U.S. and Iran and the U.S. were at before the U.S. decision to attack. In other words, talking as though negotiating while the U.S. was actually planning regime change. As in the Venezuela case, Trump is demanding the resignation of President Díaz-Canel. Bloomberg reports that, quote, people familiar with the matter say Trump wants to use American economic pressure to make the island nation financially dependent on Washington. The U.S. would essentially take the place of its one-time rival, the Soviet Union, unquote. China seeks a growth rate somewhere between 4.5 and 5%. As the Chinese economy tries to shift from excess reliance on exports to more attention to consumption at home, the leadership is pushing for emphasis on high-quality development, which essentially means greater reliance on advanced technologies, AI, robotics, and semiconductors. The official explanation for seeking a growth rate of over 4% is that, quote, economic growth must support goals such as stabilizing employment, stabilizing the market, and improving people's livelihoods. From the long-term perspective, it must be aligned with medium and long-term goals and long-term vision. This year is the first year of the 15th five-year plan. Based on the goal of achieving per capita GDP, reaching the level of moderately developed countries by 2035, the average annual growth rate for the next 10 years needs to reach 4.17%. This year's target, the official report concludes, is above this, reflecting a proactive and positive attitude of pushing ahead, unquote. New accusations of Israeli violations of international law. Israel is being accused of illegal chemical spraying of Syrian agricultural land by a French team that has provided video evidence. The use of herbicides in late January and early February seems to be connected with Israeli military operations in the buffer zone that separates Syria from the Israeli-occupied Golan Heights. That zone is supposed to be demilitarized. The herbicides presumably keep vegetation down, but they are causing significant crop losses to Syrian farmers. Chemical spraying by Israeli forces has also been reported in the West Bank and Lebanon. Finally, I want to call attention to the resignation on March 17 of Joe Kent, director of the National Counterterrorism Centers. His letter to President Trump said that, quote, Iran posed no imminent threat to our nation, and it is clear that we started this war due to pressure from Israel and its powerful American lobby. Early in this administration, the letter says, high-ranking Israeli officials and influential members of the American media employed a misinformation campaign that wholly undermined your America First platform and sowed pro-war sentiments to encourage a war with Iran. This echo chamber was used to deceive you into believing that Iran posed an imminent threat to the United States. And that's the Global Citizen International Digest for the week. I'm Mel Gertob. Thanks for listening, and take good care.